Today on Hands On Photography, I got some feedback from you, the loyal Hands On Photography listener. And it's actually a couple of interesting emails that I think might be helpful for all of you checking out the show. Y'all stay tuned.
This is Twit.
This episode of Hands On Photography is brought to you by Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastics by reinventing home essentials that are good for you and the planet. Right now, you get 15% off your first order when you go to blueland.com/hop. Hey, what's going on, everybody? I am Matt Pruitt, and this is Hands On Photography here on Twit. Hope y'all doing well. I'm unbelievable as always. And on today's episode, I'm going to dive into some feedback that I received from you, the loyal Hands On Photography listener. I got two messages, as a matter of fact, and I'm looking forward to sharing them with you, the listeners. And again, as I've said before, each and every week, you can send your feedback over to me via email. Just send an email to hop@twit.tv. Again, that's hop@twit.tv. If you just want to say hello, if you just want to say how much you enjoy the show or how much you hate the show, yeah, you can send that too. It's okay. I have thick skin. Or if you just want to, you know, share some images or get image critiques, so on and so forth. I'm more than happy to hear from you all and try to answer them all as fast as I can. And again, as I've said before, if there are images that you are fine with being shown on the shore, the show is part of a learning opportunity for the rest of the listeners, please say so. Just say that in your email, say something along the lines of, yeah, you can use this image on the show. I love doing that because it does help the community out, because there just may be someone that is trying to figure out something in photography that you've already figured out, and your little image or little tip just may help them get over the edge and accomplish that goal. So let's just keep sharing the knowledge that we have and helping to continue to grow the Hands-On Photography community and the photography community in general. All right. I'm going to shut up with that now. Let's go ahead and get started with this first email. So let me switch my screen here. So we need to hit this button here to switch the screen. This email comes from Donna. All right. It says, "Hi, Aunt. I just wanted to say I really enjoy your show, especially the episode that you did on product photography. I'm an aspiring photographer who would like to work as a product photographer. I was wondering if you would check out my portfolio at the website listed there, Donna Crenshaw, and offer any feedback. If you have any time, I would appreciate it. I just photographed products I use and had at home." Ah, I love that. And this comes from, again, Donna Crenshaw. So, as we previously discussed here on the show, product photography is something that pretty much anybody can just start to try, you know, and get into it, because in your home, you have a bunch of products that you use all the time, or products that you use sort of here and there. And if you have a camera, just start taking pictures of them. Just start setting up a scene and getting your lighting squared away and just practicing product photography. And you never know, you might be pretty daggum good at it and could potentially turn it into a bit of a photographic career. And that's what she did. She's got stuff she's using in her home, and she says, you know what, let me snap some photos and get my practice on. All right, so let me go ahead and switch my screen, and we'll take a look at the website here. So I need to hit this button. All right, so we got right here in her product and still life gallery, and at a glance, these all look pretty good. Just again, these are just at a glance, especially this one down here in the bottom left. And I did look at these earlier for a few minutes, and I had a couple thoughts. And this image here, the very first image, was like the thumbnail image of the webpage. Wanted to check that out. I like the fact that this is pretty straightforward and simple composition. This is a lens, a Canon lens, and I like that you put the lens cap off on the side. The lighting looks good. It's a clean image. I'm not seeing a bunch of noise or grain or anything like that. So from a photographic standpoint, a technical photographic standpoint, your exposure looks good. Good stuff. But I want to address a couple detail things, okay? Because if you, let's just say, all right, so this is a Canon lens, all right? So let's just say Canon hired you to photograph a lens for them to be put in their gallery to show off a new product or what have you. All right. I'm looking at this lens. This lens clearly says it's a Canon lens, but it probably don't want this logo to be upside down. Okay. So you should probably rotate this lens to where Canon is actually legible. Cause right now this sort of just looks like, oh, this is a 52 millimeter lens, because that's what's at the top. And I know, you know, this is not a 52 millimeter. It's actually a 24 mil. I know, you know that, but just an average person looking at the image, they're probably just going to think that is the name of that lens, 52 millimeter. They're probably won't even notice that it has Canon down here in the bottom right hand side. So that's one detail to take in effect. Rotate the image around and make sure all of your lettering and wording is visible. Labels are visible for the product that you're trying to represent. My next detail, and again, I'm zoomed in just at the regular perspective. This isn't super zoomed in at 200% or anything, but I'm looking at the top here and there's a little speck of dust there. There's a little speck of dust right here. Little specks of dust here, little specks of dust there, all these little specks of dust. Okay. You're going to have to clean it up. And even right here in the very center of the lens element, there's the cool little green flare, but there is a fleck of dust just right there on that too. So just use your healing brush or whatever type of object removal tools you're using, whether it's Lightroom or Photoshop or GIMP or what have you, and just figure out a way to get rid of those dust specks on this image. And that'll really help, you know, just step the game up or level it up from a client's perspective, because they're going to look at details like that. And as we said previously, we had Mr. Zach Sedewong on the show, and you know, he advised that, you know, if you're going to handle products for product photography, wear some rubber gloves, because you don't want to get your fingerprints on them. And you don't want to, you know, just get little dirt and dust and things like that on the product, because the lens is going to pick it up, especially if you have really nice lighting like what you got going on right here. This one here, I love the lighting that you have on it. It's a little bit hot on the left hand side. And, you know, this is clearly where your light source is, because I could see in the reflection, it's like you have a softbox off to camera left. And that's great, because this is very nice, soft light hitting the product. I would recommend cropping off this left hand side just a touch, because it's creating this hot spot over here that's not really adding to the image. So just crop that out. And then next, if I look at this even closer, these products are tilted a little bit. So I'm not sure what happened there. This may be some lens distortion that you have going on there. Figure out a way to open up your rotation tool and just rotate this image to where the products are straight up and straight down. Cause this has a little bit of a lean. So where they're just sort of, from my perspective, it looks like they're leaning camera left just a touch, just by a few degrees. Straighten that out. And this is pretty much ready to go. You have the labels lit. We can tell what these are. And it's clean. There's no specks of dust or anything like that. This is a good job, but just again, it's those tiny little details, little minor details that are actually major when it comes to working with brands and showing off their products. They're going to pick through this stuff and they're going to notice things like that. So let's go ahead and hop out of that. And the last image I want to look at here, which got my attention, was this one. This one is so pretty. I love it. You know, I've said before on the show that my style of photography tends to be more on the cooler, moody side. And you have this dark blue going on here with these, looks like, I guess, pearls or mussels or something like that, some shell. This is just beautiful color to me. The composition is great. The way you have everything tilted just right and the light is kissing off it just perfectly. Everything is soft lighting. There's not a lot of harsh highlights on it. These pearls have the light on them. If I can zoom, see, can I zoom right? Here we go. These pearls have the highlights on them, but they're not just harsh and glaring. That tells me that there is some sort of a soft box or soft light source hidden this. And it just looks so good. Even zoomed in like that, that looked good. You could crop in a little more if you want to. I don't necessarily recommend it. I think your crop looks great. The sharpness on it is nice. It's not too sharp and it's not too soft. There's a little bit of softness going on the left side of this, but that's just your depth of feel. And it works for this one. I really, really, really like that one. Keep doing stuff like this with this directional light, because it looks like just one light source coming in, camera left, and it's giving you a bunch of shadows off to the right hand side of the frame. And all of the shadows are just nice gradual shadows. They're not harsh, and it looks really, really good. So a credit to you on that one. But yeah, this is some good stuff here. I totally respect the effort that you're putting in on these images, just from using everyday items that you have in your home. Even these wine glasses here and the wine bottles. You're thinking about it. Little details like this, just putting a little bit of the wine in the bottom of this glass that's turned over. That's a cool little detail. This one, again, this one would be fine, but you need to rotate it a little bit more. And at the top, you'll see that the cap is cut off in the frame. You don't want that. If you're going to cut parts of your product off, you're going to have to be really intentional. And that doesn't look intentional. That looks like an accident, unfortunately. So, and then this one here, this is just a classic one. Unfortunately, the left side over here is a little too tight to the edge of the frame. So that needs to be brought out a little bit more to free up some space there. You don't necessarily have to center it, but you don't really want it really hugged up against the left hand side of the frame like that, because it just sort of cuts it off. But this is very nice, nicely done. And yeah, just keep shooting. This is some good stuff. So Miss Donna, thank you for sending that over. And if you want to send some pictures to me in the future, feel free to send them over and I'll take a look, because this is good stuff. You are definitely on your way, and just keep fine tuning and checking out all of those little details to really step the game up. All right. Now, before we get into our next email, I want to take a few minutes to thank this week's fine sponsor, the folks over at Blue Land. Look, did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soaps and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? Yeah, that's quite a bit. And it's bad enough that most of the cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship and is leading to excessive carbon emissions. Plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. Yeah, good grief. Folks, that's a lose-lose situation for you, for me, and the whole dadgum planet. Do you ever feel overwhelmed by the number of plastic bottles and containers that you throw away? Have you ever thought about purchasing more eco-friendly products but didn't really know where to start? Okay, so now listen to this. Have you even tried some of these so-called green products and found them to be just a bit too pricey, or better yet, not even effective? If you answered yes to any of these questions, let me introduce you to the folks at Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastics by reinventing home essentials that are good for you and good for the planet. Blue Land's innovative tablet refill solution takes up to 10 times less space than a traditional bottle, and their powerful formulas keep your home clean and smelling amazing. The idea is simple. You just grab one of their beautiful forever bottles and put some warm water in it, and then you just drop in their tablets and get the cleaning. It's as simple as that. Fill up the bottle with some water, drop in the tablet, get the cleaning. Refills start at $2, and you don't have to buy a new plastic bottle every time you run out of the cleaning solution. You can even set up a subscription if you ever run out of the products that you use the most, and that's going to save you even more when you buy in bulk. From cleaning sprays to hand soap to toilet cleaner to laundry tablets, all the Blue Land products are made with ingredients that you can feel good about. I really dig the toilet bowl cleaner. It's this little fizzy tablet. You drop it into the bowl and it just fizzes up and bubbles up. It's pretty cool. And you can just see that it's just eating all of the dirt and grime away from your toilet. Makes it easy to clean. Quick, easy, effective. I love that. Now, try the Clean Essentials Kit, which has everything you need to get started. Blue Land products come in a refreshing signature scent, such as iris agave, fresh lemon, or eucalyptus mint. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order when you go to blueland.com/hop. Again, that's 15% off your very first order on any new Blue Land product at blueland.com/hop. Once again, that's 15% off your first order of any Blue Land products at blueland.com/hop. And I appreciate Blue Land for supporting Hands-On Photography. All right. So now let's take a look at our next email. Again, this one is going to be a little bit longer because we had a bit of a conversation, if you will. And I cut out some of the stuff in it, but it boiled down to, yes, we're going to use this as a show episode because it's I think it could be quite helpful. So let's go ahead and switch my screen here. This email, it comes from Herschel Day. It says, I love the show. Only recently started watching it. My wife and I have a cake business, and I've been trying to figure out a way to really make the pictures pop. We usually shoot with our phones on the kitchen counter, but I always feel like the lighting can be a challenge, and even the background may not be what I'm wanting. Do you have an episode that kind of covers things like this and I can refer to and even have suggestions, including recommendations on equipment? If I don't need any extra, great. But if there's some things that I could help me up my game, then I'm all for it. Thank you for your time, or even for just reading this. Thank you, Herschel Day. Now, that email continues because, again, we had a bit of a thread going back and forth. So I want to show some of the other messages here. You'll see some examples attached because I asked him, you know, hey, can you show some of your images? Let me see what we're working with. And he sent some images over and basically sent me the Instagram page. And as he continues, he says many of them, he thinks, or at least it's just more of a lighting issue. He's noticing that the shadows in the fronts, especially or if there's like a decoration in the wording or anything like that, it's getting a lot of shadows. That's not always the case, but even the blue cake example has a dark spot right in the middle, but it didn't have that in real life. Yep, that's lighting. That's lighting. These are all shot in our kitchen counter, and currently we push them all the way back to the wall to try to get the best lighting from under the cabinet lighting. Very fascinating. But our cakes are different sizes, so the larger cakes are really hard to get good shots on, like the ones with our hearts. And I may show that example. It won't fit under the counter, basically, because they're just too tall. So the message continues. Lastly, it says, on one of your episodes, you had someone that was big on mobile photography, and I think she used Lightroom on iOS to do some shots and editing, and I'm not opposed to that. And yes, that was Miss Lisa Carney. Love that woman. And in fact, for us, the more fluid and frictionless, we can end up making the process better. Otherwise, I know we just won't do it and still will be frustrated. I think all of these were shot using a standard camera app on the auto settings. I still haven't learned how to do full manual settings. I'm not even sure if that would help at all or how it would help. Thank you for your help on all of this. Thank you, Herschel Day. Okay, that was quite a bit to go through, I know, but man, it was fascinating because they make cakes for a living, all right? And so they're trying to photograph their products, okay? Keyword, it's product. So again, we're talking product photography here. And they didn't quite feel the cakes photographs just hit the mark because they just sort of look flat to them. It was one of the messages that guys just sort of look flat. And I get that. Shooting cake photographs can be quite tricky because a lot of times when you have these professionally designed cakes, it's a lot of textures and things like that. And you want that texture to come through in the image. And so that means really making sure you nail your focus, number one. And then you also have to make sure your lighting is just right, because if you have too many shadows in the wrong spots, you're going to cover up a lot of the textures. And then there's the aspect of the background. You know, what's the back of the image look like? What's the rest of the scene look like? Does it complement the cakes there? And all of that can be quite challenging. So first, let me just go ahead and flip the screen over here and we'll take a look at their Instagram page. So let me see, you hit this button here. All right. So this is their Instagram page, Plum Frosted. And I'm scrolling through and these cakes are pretty daggum cool. There's definitely some talent there. And as I'm scrolling through, I get what they're talking about as far as just the photographs. They're just not really giving that oomph to it. They're snapshots, essentially. The lighting on it is not harsh lighting, but the positioning of the light just may be the issue. And I wanted to I know he's not necessarily wanting to quote unquote be like another cake photographer or anything like that. But if it's going to make your image look better, there's some things that you have to consider. And so what I did is on Instagram, I just searched for cake photography. So I'm going to click to this tab here and you can take a look at some of these other photographs and you're going to notice something. The lighting is super key on all of these. In this example here in the middle, which has over 3,000 likes, good grief. This looks like one large window light hitting it. Maybe it's not a window light, but it is one large light source hitting it from the left side of the frame. And it's a soft light source because look at the shadows again. The shadows are not really stark and dark. They're just sort of gradual. And you can still see details inside of the cake. The background, okay, so it looks like this cake is in the corner of some type of tabletop or something like that. But at the same time, the background doesn't necessarily compete with the cake. It provides extra contrast to really bring out the cake. The colors is another thing. The colors are a little bit muted, but it seems to work because everything in the background is dark and the cake itself is white and pink. So there's, again, immediate contrast happening right there. And as I continued to scroll through, I just kept noticing the same thing. There's one really big light source in all of these images that are really popular and really pretty, you know, like this one here. Big old window over here on the right hand side of the camera. Soft light coming through a window because sunlight through a window is naturally diffused light. That is the cheapest, most beautiful light that you can get right there. Window light. And it's hitting this and it looked good. There's just enough shadow hitting it on the other side so you can see textures in there, but it's lit up quite nicely. Same for these other images. Notice again, just a general shadow and more window light coming in. So can you move your cake shots to like a window area? You know, do you have a dinner table next to a window? Do you have a, I don't know, maybe even if it's just a card table, something next to a window, you can start with that from a lighting standpoint. And there's another thing that you can consider. If I just search for food photography on Instagram, you're going to notice another thing regarding the lighting. Again, it's going to be one soft light source. But then notice the contrast in all of these. No, these are not cakes, okay? But all of these have really, really strong contrast. And when you have that strong contrast, the colors just pop out. I mean, these are simple oranges. But because there's this darker background and there's a lot of dark contrast going on right here, the oranges are just standing out and there's still plenty of detail showing there. That's something that you have to consider. And it's also directional light that's being used. Here's another example. This is a bit of a low key setting, but it's one big light coming from one source and it's all falling off on a directional standpoint. You can try that for your cakes. Again, it depends on the theme that you're trying to go with. If you're trying to go with light and airy, then no, don't do a dark background. Just do something with sort of a neutral background. Next, we can consider the backgrounds themselves. I've spoken about this stuff before. And there's this company called Fadeless. I've bought some backgrounds from them. I don't know how many times because they're super inexpensive. They're really, really cheap. And it's just paper backgrounds and I hang them up behind me. As a matter of fact, when the pandemic started, I used a couple of the backdrops behind me to do the show each and every week. And it was literally a $10 roll of paper because it looked good. But this one is $14 and they got a bunch of other ones. I'll put some links here in the show description. This one here is nice. The little wooden background. All of that stuff looks really, really, really good. And you can get it for next to nothing and just hang it in the backdrop behind your cake. And that's going to give you a better option versus what you had going on back there that sort of looked like tile. I'm not a big fan of that. And then also you don't want to put it directly on the background, you know, give it a little bit of distance because that way you're going to have some nice depth of field for your shots. And you said that you're using an iPhone camera. That's totally fine. You can use an iPhone to do these photographs because the smartphone cameras are totally capable today. Just like Miss Lisa Carney, who you referenced earlier, that's all she shoots with. And she is crushing it. Just absolutely beautiful work each and every day. So keep using your iPhone because it's going to work, but just consider your lighting. And if you want to do some of your retouching, do your retouching in whatever app you choose. You don't necessarily have to use Lightroom Mobile. Yes, I am an authorized Adobe affiliate. And yes, I love Adobe for the most part. But I'm not going to sit here and say you have to use Adobe Lightroom. You can just use the standard app on your iPhone to adjust contrast, to adjust the highlights and adjust the exposure. And it's going to look really, really, really good. But first things first, let's fix the lighting. Get away from that overhead light that you're using in your kitchen. I'll put a couple of links to some decent lights that you can use and set up some light stands and things like that that are inexpensive. And they're just nice, high quality, clean lights. And if you don't want to do that, again, grab a card table or something like that. Put it next to a big window if you can, because that big window is going to give you some beautiful light. And play around with the different angles, play around with the angles with how you frame it up in your camera, up high, straight on, a little bit lower. All of that stuff makes a difference. And since you're going to be on a table next to a window or just away from that counter, you're going to have a little bit more freedom to move around and frame up your shot. So get experimenting. And like I said, I will have some links here in the show description to show you a couple of different things that you can use to help step that game up. All right. Okay. Thank you again for that email, Mr. Herschel. And thank you, Ms. Donna, for your email. This was a lot of fun going through these and having conversations with you too. I hope the rest of the hands-on photography viewers and listeners and got something out of this, and maybe they're trying these same tactics out, and maybe we can all connect on Instagram or something and check out each other's photos. So do me a favor, go ahead and give me a follow on Instagram. I am @_Pruitt on Instagram, and I'll link their Instagrams too. Go follow them as well. And then if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me as @_Pruitt on Twitter as well. Hey, if this is your first time catching the show, go ahead and subscribe. I hope you enjoyed this time here on Hands-On Photography. Subscribe right now at the website, twit.tv/hop. That's twit.tv/HOP. We're available on Apple Podcasts. We're available on Spotify or pretty much wherever you listen to podcasts. So if you're listening to podcast player Z, I don't care. You can find us. Just search for Hands-On Photography and subscribe right there. I want to give a shout out to my man, Mr. Victor, for making me look and sound good each and every week. And shout out to you, the loyal Hands-On Photography listener that comes and check us out each week. And also continuing to share the show with all of your friends and family and at least one enemy. Hey, you're helping us grow the Hands-On Photography community, and I truly appreciate the support. All right, everybody. Hey, safely create and dominate, and I will catch you next time.
Hey, I'm Rod Pyle, editor of Ad Astra magazine, and each week I'm joined by Tarek Malik, the editor-in-chief over at space.com, in our new This Week in Space podcast. Every Friday, Tarek and I take a deep dive into the stories that define the new space age. What's NASA up to? When will Americans once again set foot on the moon? And how about those samples from the Perseverance rover? When are those coming home? What the heck has Elon Musk done now? In addition to all the latest and greatest in space exploration, we'll take an occasional look at bits of spaceflight history that you probably never heard of, and all with an eye towards having a good time along the way. Check us out on your favorite podcatcher.